We've been talking about, I'm using this image. It's from an article or a little book on Proverbs by a man named Robert Deffenbaugh. And actually, this outline today is basically his outline. So I just want to say that up front. It's not all original with me. So his terms, dame, wisdom, madam, folly. Those are, he talks about the two women. But now he wants to talk about Sir Simple. Sir Simple. So the characteristics of Sir Simple. And I have in the introduction here, here's a quote from him, Robert Deffenbaugh. He says, there's a great deal of difference between being simple and being stupid. All right. To most of us, the word simple conjures up thoughts of a near imbecile, or some would put it, a person who is several bricks short of a load. That is not what is meant by the term simple in the book of Proverbs. Being simple is a stage in the development of every person, very much like adolescence. Everyone must go through the simple phase of life, just as they go through puberty. But simplicity is also a very dangerous time in life, because those who are simple are so vulnerable and gullible. There, furthermore, being simple is one short step from being a fool. So this critical period in life must be lived very carefully. Those of us who have already passed this point in life may now have children who fall into this category. But if not, we will nevertheless find it necessary to deal with those who are simple. Therefore, we too must listen well to the words of Proverbs as they define both the condition and the cure for those who are simple. All right. And I have, so that's his introductory statement. I have these verses from Proverbs 1:4 and 7:7. I have it in both the New American and the King James. The New American, instead of simple, uses the term naive. To give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. That's 1:4, 7:7. And I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense. Here's the King James. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. And 7:7, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Kind of like the word simple better than naive, but that's the way they've chosen to translate it. Simplicity, Deffenbaugh says, is an ailment of the young. So what I'm going to do with this session, I've been looking through these old notes. I am using old notes as well. Not only am I using Deffenbaugh's outline, I'm using old notes. And so I've been a little bit dissatisfied with what I've done in the last few weeks, because I'm trying to translate the old notes into a format that is sort of my Bible study format nowadays, and I feel like it's not working quite as well. I'm giving you too many blanks. I'm trying to make you read my mind, so I'm going to try to work away from that. So I have given you blanks. I've given you the bare outline on your sheet. Okay, so that's all you have is the outline, the main points. I'm going to talk about each point, and then at the end of each point, once I'm through, I'll give you a chance for questions or comments. Okay, how's that? So here's the first one. Being simple is not a sin, but a phase in one's growth towards maturity. Right, so the thing is, everyone starts out as simple. It's a stage of spiritual development. Obviously, there is a certain aspect of it that involves a lack of knowledge. A new Christian doesn't know everything he needs to know, or she needs to know. And we're talking about physical growth, a young child doesn't know everything he or she needs to know. They need to grow. So there is this simplicity. But there is this thing that involves, I think there is a tendency when we're talking about spiritual growth that people can be stuck in simplicity. Their will has to be engaged to grow spiritually. So I'm going to give you 1 Corinthians 3:1-3 to sort of describe this. Paul's talking to the Corinthians. He says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I give you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able. for you are still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? So he's dealing with this conflict and the things that are going on in Corinth. But there's three types of people that are mentioned here. There are infants in Christ. I'm not speaking to you as spiritual men, but as to infants. He calls them men of flesh, but also infants. He says, I can only feed you with milk. And they are still fleshly, it says in verse 3. The King James uses the word carnal. Now, the thing is that some time has passed for these people in Corinth, and they are still in the stage of simplicity. And in fact, he says their immaturity had become carnality, willful ignorance and immaturity. While it was not wrong to be fleshy as babes, it was a sin to be fleshly, that is carnal. What begins as immaturity can become carnality. He said in that earlier introductory statement, the position of the simple person is just one short step removed from being a fool. But this spiritual immaturity is what Proverbs is addressing when he's talking to the simple person. The simple in Proverbs are simply immature, generally speaking. Okay? They have not necessarily stepped into foolishness, but they very easily could. All right, so that's the first point. Being simple is not a sin, but a phase in one's growth towards maturity. All right, any comments? What I said, Christy?
Are there people that remain in that state basically their whole life?
Yes, apparently there are. Okay, yes, I think so. I've met people who've been Christians for a long time, and they just don't seem to get much more than the very basics. Now, hopefully they grow some, but anyway. All right, Chris, whoever you are. My wife. Yes, that's who I'm talking about. Debbie, I remember your name now. Yes.
Yeah, and it isn't, to agree, it isn't, there's no relationship between spiritual maturity and anybody's age.
Yeah.
You can have a mature young person like Timothy, or you can have a mature young person, and you can have an old person who's mature or one that's mature.
Yes, we will come to that a little bit later. But yes, it's not necessarily, I mean, it's easy to equate it with age, but we're not just going to equate it with age. People are, yes.
I read one thing I think it says there's no such thing as standing still, though. If you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards.
Yes. All right. So, yes, we will come to that as well. All right. Crystal.
I just want to comment that having grown up in, like, the United Church and moved on to the Presbyterian Church and so on, I feel like I've been a child for my whole life. I've gone beyond infancy, I think, towards a child, but so naive and immature.
Interesting, yeah.
And it was only when I came here, wow, my eyes were opened, seriously. Eyes are opened.
Well, the thing is, we have to take...
I'm so incredulous, and that's why I kept, praising you when I first started coming here, and I'm going to stop now.
That's good. Yes. Yes. Well, see, our country. Okay. Let me put it this way. I'll just say this. I don't really want to go on down this rabbit trail, but our country has been poorly served by our churches. And my grandfather's cousin was a United Church minister. Okay. And he was a very godly man. But he stayed in the United Church. Now this is back in the, when did he die? Like in the 70s? In the 70s sometime. And he was a wonderful guy, but his son was a total unbeliever. And the United Church from the very beginning was compromised doctrinally. And it's not just the United Church, they're just one example. But what I'm saying is, the churches of Canada and the United States have largely been very weak on teaching the Bible and applying it to their lives and encouraging discipleship. And if we need to guard our own hearts and our own minds and our own lives so that we're constantly coming back to the Bible, because otherwise you stay stuck in simplicity. All right, so Tolo's next.
Yeah. In Christendom, age is just a number.
Yeah.
It's only our experience in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
That keep us and made us to grow into maturity.
That's right. That's our experience in Christ that helps us to grow into maturity. That's absolutely right. All right, Lee?
I would say it doesn't make it any less alarming, too, when you see, like, faithful churches fall off, like, generationally. Or, like,
yes.
Not to say there's not faithful churches sprouting up all the time, but the thing that gets me, too, is, like, a lot of churches will have, like, an educational institution tied to them. And you watch, they seem to almost fall first.
Yes, yes, that's true. Now, it's rare. The church that lasts and stays faithful for hundreds of years is rare. One such that I've been to is Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. Peter Masters is the current pastor. He's in his 80s or maybe, I don't know if he's in his 90s. Incredible guy, very humble man, great preacher. Of course, that's Spurgeon's church. Okay, so, but that goes all the way back. It goes before Spurgeon, John Gill. Now, he is super Calvinist, so he has issues. But that church has been a faithful Bible-preaching church for over 300 years. It's an incredible church. Now, we as Christians, we need to be devoted. We need to be humble and submissive to God and do everything we can to be good disciples ourselves and build a work for God here. All right, Maureen.
So just in reflection on that, because I was sort of thinking about the discussion last week about like politics and different things. Like, would you say like how do people pass the? I guess I wonder why faithful churches sometimes like they might be faithful, but there's children who fall away. So would you say like? Figuring out how to apply these principles in our homes understanding the influence of the culture? Like, what is it that...
Well, there's no one thing that guarantees the passage of faith from one generation to another. I would say that parents who... You know, and this is maybe anecdotal and based on my experience. Parents who are sold out for God tend to involve themselves with their kids in a way that communicates faith. It doesn't just dictate, it communicates. And that relationship is very powerful. That's part of what the church is supposed to be doing. That's what we're supposed to be doing, is developing a kind of relationship with one another, with the Word of God, where the thing that we're known for is our work in the church. And I can think, especially my mother. My dad was quite involved too. But my mother lived for the church. That was what drove her. Now, she lived for us too and everything. But, I mean, she was getting kids down the street to come to church. She was dragging the whole family to church. We had this one family, alcoholic father. All those kids came to church, came to camp. Several of them are believers today. Okay. And I attribute it to my mother's influence. But that was she was just lived for that. And it wasn't, you know, she wasn't trying to preach to people. She'd just bring them along. Come on, we got this thing for kids. She'd just bring them. It was something else. I can't describe it. Anyway, so let's move on. Because I will get emotional if I keep talking on that track. Okay, simplicity is a phase in one's growth, but one cannot remain simple just as one cannot remain an adolescent. So I don't have much here, and I actually don't even have a scripture to show you. But here's the thing. Debbie had said you can't stay here in her comment. So simplicity is a phase. It is not a landing place. It does pass. Through active growth, it passes to wisdom. Okay, so if somebody is growing positively, actively, taking in the Word of God, turning towards Dame Wisdom, let's get the terms right, Dame Wisdom, if you're responding to the call of wisdom, you're responding to the Bible, then you grow to wisdom. Passivity, if you're just going along, you're not taking anything in, you'll end up being a fool. Okay? So it does not stay, you don't get stay stuck in simplicity. Okay, you can consciously choose to respond to God's word and grow in wisdom, or you can just go along and you will become a fool. Or through rebellion to foolish wickedness. Okay, so there's people who actively pursue rebellion and that ends up in foolish wickedness. If you do not pursue hard after wisdom, you will become a fool. And our definition of wisdom is skill in applying spiritual truth or Bible truth to life. That's what wisdom is. So simplicity is just a phase in one's growth. Any comments here, or are we ready to move? This is a short point.
The verse that comes to my mind is the one for the time you ought to be teachers, you have one,
yeah,
that one teach you again the elementary principles.
Yeah, when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need to be taught again. All right, so let's move on to point three. Simplicity is not remedied by time, but by choice. So I have several verses here that are appealing to the will. Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. As the King James says, consent thou not. Funny way of saying it, but anyway, okay. Proverbs 1:15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. These are imperatives. Proverbs 1:22-23, how long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. So, the challenge of Proverbs is to make a conscious choice to pursue wisdom. So, what we're teaching here is that in order to gain wisdom, in order to pass beyond simplicity towards wisdom, you have to choose wisdom. It's not simply, well, he'll grow out of it. There is a challenge to choose, to do the right thing. All right, any comments, Lee?
And I just want to make sure I'm not confusing terms here, like with simplicity, like, because I know, like, from my past, it was like, kind of, the term is, has brought me, but the false convert, if you will, so it's not that I sort of in a simple state because I was self-deceived, I guess. You could say.
Okay.
But this is talking about a saved person, like, who's...
Well, we're talking the Old Testament. He's just talking about a category.
I see.
Okay, and so...
But to apply it to, I guess.
But and we can talk about... let's talk about somebody who's a brand new Christian. Okay, maybe they get saved at, I don't know, 18, 20, 30. So right now, when they first become a Christian, they are simple Christians. Okay, they haven't taken in a lot of information. They know enough to know that they're sinners and Jesus died for their sins, and he's the only way to heaven. And so they've called on Christ, accepted him, believed in him, okay? But they don't know much beyond that. And so often they'll come into church and they'll say things that are a little off the wall, and we sort of, you know, we work with them and we help them say, you know, you probably shouldn't say that. And you get them in Bible studies and you start teaching them what the Christian life is about, and in our church, we have some material that we like to use with people and take them through step by step. Talk about what the church membership, baptism, Christian living, the whole gamut to help them grow, because we want them to respond to become what God wants them to become. And as you grow in the knowledge, and you will grow, but you have to choose to do that. You can't just, can't just sit. It will, you won't grow with that. Okay, I'm not sure who was first, but I saw Christy first. So what? Oh, Tolo was first? Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Sir, I'm just curious, because Jesus said, if you are not like a child, you cannot make heaven.
Right.
Knowing fully well that one of the characteristics of a child is simplicity.
Yes.
So how do we now?
All right, so we start with simplicity. We start there. Okay, but we don't stay there. Okay, so in order to receive salvation, we have to humble ourselves, we have to be simple like a child, but then we have to grow beyond that. God doesn't want us just to be babies in Christ. He wants us to grow. So that's the starting point. All right, so Christy.
So could the simple person ever be, like, not saved yet? Like a teenager that hasn't fully chosen the way of foolishness or wisdom, and they are still very naive, and do you know what I mean? Like, is it always...
Well, okay, so we are part of this, when we say things like this, we are talking, we have a New Testament perspective. And Proverbs is an Old Testament book. So he is talking about wisdom, the fear of the Lord, walking faithfully, all that's in the Old Testament. And so then when we come to the New Testament, we have the change of being born again. We have, and so there is that, you know, that simple beginning. And so there is an expectation of growth in wisdom and spiritual life. So part of our problem when we use these terms is we're talking about an Old Testament book and an Old Testament subject, but we're bringing in our New Testament expectation. So what about a kid who's, okay, you got this kid. He's maybe made, or she has made a profession of faith as a young child, but then there's continual issues of misbehavior, and the only thing that I can say is you have to exhort. There is a choice that has to be made, and if a child, professing Christian or not, keeps choosing wrongly, they will end up in foolishness, okay, or worse.
Okay. What about the neighborhood kids that haven't even necessarily heard a whole lot?
Yes.
Are they not in the simple crowd, some of them?
Some of them are simple, yes. Yeah, some of them are simple, but it doesn't take long to enter into foolishness. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Sorry?
I don't...
Go ahead.
So, could you be contrasting different things, though? Because there's immaturity of...
Well, there's human immaturity. Kids are immature just because they're kids.
That's right. So, that's one thing. And I think sometimes... Like, Proverbs is talking, it does talk about the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, which is, you could relate that to kind of salvation.
Yes.
In a sense.
Yes.
But also, like, there's a certain amount of human wisdom. I mean, it's wisdom from the Lord, but it's wisdom of living your life as opposed to,
right,
you know, understanding doctrine and what we understood about Hebrews this morning, for example.
Yes.
Is very powerful to help you choose wisdom, but that's not present in Proverbs.
Yeah, that's right.
But could you say that, like, just some people, if they're saved older in life, mm-hmm, if they come from a very disorganized background and have had, like, I just think of some of our friends, the biker guy who, mm-hmm, was, you know, he had a terrible childhood and none of the things that just make people grow in a normal way.
Right.
So for that person to actually learn to apply wisdom is very challenging.
Yes.
Because it's just making wise decisions about finances, how do you help that kind of person?
Yeah, well, they have to be willing to be helped. Right. So there is this choice. Okay, so, all right, so there's, and so there's a lot of categories here, but Maureen uses the illustration of a man who came from a very, very dysfunctional, I mean, he put the dis in dysfunctionality in his upbringing, like really, really bad. And for him to make, like, even in his life skills, like we would call, you know, talking about life skills, like he just couldn't function in the world really well. He was constantly getting himself into trouble, various ways. So he comes to Christ. All right, so the Lord is starting to change him, but he has a long way to go. And people, they have to choose, but they have to choose. And when they make one wise choice, they have to repent and choose again. So it's a process, yeah. That's right. All right, Debbie.
Well, I was just thinking, many of the questions here seem to be focused on something simple. Yeah. Is the simple person always a safe person? And I say, no, it can be a safe person or an unsafe person, correct?
Yes.
You know, the simple of Proverbs.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this could be we're not necessarily talking about a believer. It's just simple. We're just talking about the concept of simplicity.
But a believer can be simple.
But a believer,
mostly.
That's right. A believer can be simple, but you have to choose. You have to choose wisdom. You have to move forward that way. And we're given these imperatives. We have to respond to them. If we're going to grow in wisdom, we have to respond to them. Okay. All right, I'm not sure if I've answered all the questions. Maybe I'm raising more questions than I'm answering, so. Number four. While simplicity is normally a malady of the young, every age has its pitfalls. Okay, so, Madame Folly has wiles for every phase of life, Deffenbaugh said. A man can become a fool at any given moment, and many have. Okay, so we have Paul's instructions to the young. Oh, I didn't make that very big. I hope you can see that. Maybe I have tons of verses. That might be why. Okay, so let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. So he's saying that to Timothy. 1 Timothy 6:11, but flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. So there's instructions to the young, but notice the instructions to the older men. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. And older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. All right, so the instructions are similar to both old and young, is the point that is being made here. Simplicity is normally true of a younger person or a younger Christian, but every age has its pitfalls. And you will see examples, and some have been in the news recently, of people who seemingly had great spiritual maturity, but it turns out they were engaged in very foolish behavior. And self-destructive, hurting other Christians, hurting themselves, bringing a shame on the testimony of Christ. So every age has its pitfalls, so we don't want to dismiss that. All right, any comments on that before I move on to the next one? I think we sort of covered this in some of what we've already said. All right, so let me give you the next one. Simplicity is a condition fraught with dangers. The simple are deficient in some essential areas. So here's the descriptions of Proverbs. Well, not always Proverbs, Psalms and Proverbs. Okay, Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So the simple lack wisdom. So that's the very first thing. They lack knowledge and discretion. To give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. That's the purpose of Proverbs. They lack understanding. So we have Psalm 119, 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Proverbs 3, 4. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says. And then again, later on. Whoever is naive, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks understanding, she says. Now, one is Dame Wisdom, and the other is Madame Folly. But the person who's understanding, it lacks understanding. That's characteristic of somebody who's simple. So the appeal is made to them. Proverbs 7:7, I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths, a young man lacking sense. He lacks sense. All right, and then these last two verses. The naive believes everything, but the sensible man considers his steps. Or the prudent sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it. So lack of foresight. So as a position fraught with dangers. All right. So Because of these things, they lack knowledge and discretion, they lack understanding, they lack sense, they lack foresight. Okay? So the simple, like all fallen mankind, are inclined toward evil and not towards what is good and righteous. They are ignorant, they don't know better, yes. They are inexperienced, yes. And they are inclined towards evil. Because one of the huge problems with simplicity, it's not just simply that what we lack, it's because of that sin nature inside. The tendency is to choose that which pleases, to choose that which satisfies me. And so Deffenbaugh says, in a sense, they are spiritually accident prone. They tend toward what is harmful and destructive. Left to themselves, the simple will not become wise, but will stumble into folly and disaster. And so I have a couple more verses that go with this. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Proverbs 1:32, for the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. And then the naive, Proverbs 14:18, the naive inherit foolishness, but the sensible are crowned with knowledge. So the tendency, because there's many dangers because of what the simple person lacks, and the tendency of the simple person is to fall into foolishness. And they are also the target of those who are evil and unscrupulous. So Deffenbaugh again, a con artist makes it his business to identify the gullible person and to profit from his or her naivete. The simple are often the victims of evil men and women who know that the simple are vulnerable. And so, a couple other references you might want to jot down. Proverbs 1:10-19, wicked men seek out simple men to turn them to their evil ways. And of course, Madam Folly seeks out simple young men as well. Proverbs 6:27, and 9:13-18. While the simple tend to wander towards disaster, it aggressively pursues them as well. So, you think about the con artist. I don't know if you've read Huckleberry Finn. There are things that are in the more modern sensibilities about the book are looked down on. But in this journey that Jim and Huck are taking down the Mississippi on a raft, they come across these two characters who pass themselves off as the king and the duke, right? And they're basically con artists, and they are trying to deceive people. And I think about those phone calls you get. You know, this is Amazon, or this is, you know, there's a problem with your internal, you know, this is the tax department, or this is whoever. You know, and they keep doing it. They must be attracting some simple people. All right, so Christy.
It makes me think of Eve.
Yes.
She's probably considered simple, and then it reminds me of Satan tempting Christ in the wilderness. Like,
yes.
She was using scripture, and the simple would have been like, oh, yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. I'll
yeah, exactly. Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Ephesians 4:14-15, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind and doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting.
Yeah.
Like,
that's right. Yeah. That's right. And that in a, let's see. That is in the passage, Ephesians 4, right? And that is in the passage where he says, okay, so God gave gifts to the church. He gave evangelists and prophets. Apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and pastor teachers. And what was the purpose? So that you might grow, so that you might become disciple makers yourself, so that you're not tossed to and fro. So that's the point. All right.
Yeah. So back to what Crystal was saying, having grown up in the church but never been taught anything.
Yes.
When we were, I don't know, in our 20s and in a Bible study, I was reading a book from their house and it's Grace Awakening.
Okay.
It was basically the opposite of Romans, where grace says that you can go ahead and sin all you like.
Right.
And God is so much grace, right? And so in the simplicity of my lack of understanding and teaching, I was like, oh, wow, I ever thought of that before. This is mm-hmm. great. And like so many people, it seems like in the church,
mm-hmm.
go with that.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. They haven't been taught properly. And there's a lot of foolishness in the churches as a result. All right. Any other comments or questions, Debbie?
I think that Christians as a whole, not just our church, but tend to be gullible.
Yes.
And fall to these con artists on the internet or on TV.
Yes.
Or, and I just think
okay. So Debbie's saying that we tend to be gullible. Okay. Christians in general tend to be gullible. We're taught to think well of people. In some ways we should, but we need to be students of the scripture. There's so many things, so many voices out there that they sound good. They sound reasonable. They promote values, though, that are contrary to the Bible. They'll use scripture to do it. We need to know the Bible. We need to study it. We need to take it in. You need to ask God to give us a mind of discernment. You know, we tend to, you know, maybe you become a Christian later in life, and you've had input from our world that has taught you a value system that is contrary to the Bible. So you will need to adopt the Bible's system. First, you need to know what it is. Then you need to adopt it. That you need to change. Okay, so. All right, Lee was trying to raise.
I was going to say, there's a hard balance too, because it's easy to become hardened to the constant like buffeting from the world. So like when a real, say like in the topic of like needs or something comes up, like I look at these scams that are out there today where they have like, you know, they'll have some kind of sob story, and mm-hmm. I'm a Christian and I had opened this business or whatever, my parents, you know, like mm-hmm. this or that, or my parents did mm-hmm. this to me because I'm a Christian, like donating now kind of things. Like I'm not, mm-hmm. but it's so many of those are just false and awful, and it just sort of pulls on people's heartstrings. You know?
Right.
I think it just has the unfortunate side effect of like building this hardness or shell on you.
Too. Yes. But we need wisdom.
You have to know your Bible and weigh everything against it too.
That's right.
Like, there's things like that that come up that.
Yeah, that's right. That is right. I put in my notes, this is why parents need to guard their children from their friends. Be involved in helping them make good choices and steering them away from bad choices. Now, we want our kids to have friends, and we want our kids to grow socially as well as spiritually, but they need to think about what other kids say. And they need to be able to learn how to stand up, you know, and maybe they need to be removed. Like sometimes you have to remove them. They're not strong enough to stand up.
There's worse things than being alone.
Yeah, there's worse things than being alone.
Mm-hmm.
You only have the Lord, and if you have Christian parents, you know, this is the thing. Like, it's not... People used to ask us about homeschooling. Well, what about socialization? Okay, I say, I don't want them to become socialists. They'd look at me, what are you talking about? But that's true. Our kids were involved in sports and they had contact with other kids and we put them in some things, but we wanted to create for them an environment that was as much as possible Christian in its input. And then they were evangelists. Our kids were evangelists. As little ones. They're wanting to bring their kids. And I see that some of you now, especially those who are traveling long distances, it's harder. But I've seen some of you have brought kids. Praise the Lord. Now haven't come back. But it'd be wonderful. You know, see little kids bringing other kids. Now don't all go, okay kids, you've got to go find somebody to bring to church. No, that's not. But that's what, you know, just being a disciple. All right, it's fraught with dangers. All right, let's get the last one. Simplicity, while a dangerous malady, is not an incurable one. So not all the simple turn to Madame Folly, some turn to Dame Wisdom. In Pilgrim's Progress, all the pilgrims must pass through Vanity Fair. Some succumb to temptations and are trapped into ineffectual Christian lives. others pass on and are strengthened by their experience. So you remember John Bunyan's allegory. All right. So the solution to the simple is to turn from folly, to reject wicked men and to refuse evil women and to pursue wisdom. So several references, but I'll just give you this one. Proverbs 1:23, turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. All right. And they need not learn from personal failure. Like, we do gain wisdom from personal failure. And I can think of experiences where I've done something really dumb, really dumb. And I hope I've learned. Okay. But we don't have to learn that way. We can learn by observation. We can learn by instruction. The Lord will aid the simple who want his help. Psalm 116:6, the Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Okay, so the Lord will aid the simple who want his help. And the scripture is the primary protection of the simple. Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Psalm 119, verse 30. The unfolding of your words gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. Proverbs 7, 1 to 5. My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching and the apple as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your heart, fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend, that they may keep you from an adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her words. All right, and so then I have one last scripture, and that is the way of escaping for the simple. Proverbs 10:13, no temptation is overtaking you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way to escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. So, it is dangerous to remain simple, but it is not incurable. So if you apply your heart to the Word of God, if you pursue God, pursue His ways, you can overcome simplicity yourself and you can help others overcome it. Any last comments before we wrap up for this morning? Lee?
I just find it funny how fitting that Bunyan reference was, like the Vanity Fair.
Yes.
They have that as like the name and sort of definition of that.
Yes.
Magazine or whatever.
Well, that comes, that tradition later on, William Makepeace Thackeray wrote a book called Vanity Fair.
Yeah.
And then I guess the magazine has taken off that same thing, yes. And it is vanity.
They're not kind of denying that definition, you know,
yeah.
In a sense either.
Oh, they're embracing it.
Yes.
Yeah, they think it's great. Yeah,
and in the book, though, people think they're great. They're like simple-minded.
Yeah, that's right. That's a tremendous illustration. All right, any other comments? Okay, let's have a word of prayer and we'll close. Our Father, we thank you for our time today as we've considered the characteristics of the simple person. And the remedy. So Lord, we pray that you would help us each one to be applying our hearts to the Word of God so that we might take a good stand in our own lives. We pray for your blessing on the rest of our day. In Jesus' name, amen.